It is nearly 12 o'clock, and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we have overcast skies, 37 degrees. Out at the airport, they're showing 89% humidity, east winds at 14 miles per hour, and 10 miles of visibility. Look for rain showers for the rest of the day, high near 38, southeast winds to 15, gusting to 20. For tonight, scattered showers, mainly before 10, mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 33, southeast winds to 10, turning to the west this evening. And rain is likely for Wednesday as well. Coming up on the Midday Report, the Coast Guard has rescued two crewmen from a boat foundering off Cape Chiniac on Sunday. The Sitka School Board is going out on a limb by not firing teachers. And a broad-based tax, could it be finally in the offing for Alaska?
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Biden is seeking re-election, and in his first remarks since making that announcement today, he spoke at a legislative conference for union workers and touted his administration's success in bolstering manufacturing in this country. But he says there's still more work to be done. Here's NPR's Deepa Shivaram.
Hours after making it official that he's seeking a second term, President Biden got an enthusiastic reception at the Conference for the North America Building Trades Unions.
Let's go, Joe!
The president said it was time to, quote, finish the job, and he criticized Republicans in Congress, namely House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, for their budget plan that would make cuts to social programs.
The threat the MAGA Republicans pose is to take us to a place we've never been.
Biden said some people look at the economy through the eyes of Wall Street, but he says he looks at it through the eyes of Scranton, Pennsylvania, and Claymont, Delaware, where he grew up. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, the White House.
Biden's announcement today could lead to a Biden-Trump rematch. Meanwhile, a civil trial involving former President Donald Trump is underway in New York. NPR's Ilya Meretz reports columnist E. Jean Carroll is accusing Trump of sexual assault and defamation.
Safety is a big, big concern at this trial. There's a lot of security. Jurors who were questioned anonymously. They did not give their names. They were known only by their numbers. And that's how they'll be known throughout the trial, not only to the public, but also to the attorneys, to the parties, and to the judge. They will be escorted in and out of the building by vehicle. They'll be dropped at drop-off points, which are not shared with the public. All of this in an effort to really ensure their safety and ensure that this trial can run smoothly.
NPR's Ilya Meretz reporting. Tributes are pouring in for Harry Belafonte, a champion of civil rights and revered actor and singer. He died today at the age of 96. NPR's Alana Weiss looks back at Belafonte's legacy.
Belafonte brought a trademark calypso sound to American radio waves. The Jamaican-American won multiple awards, including several Grammys, a Tony, and an Emmy. Belafonte was a barrier-breaking star through the 1950s and 60s, a time when the civil rights movement was transforming the nation. Harry Belafonte was a confidant of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and was active in social justice into his 90s.
I've always been opposed to injustice, having been a victim of it. I've always been for women's rights, primarily because I saw what happened to my mother as a domestic, mm-hmm. and what happened to her as a woman. I've always been for people coming together.
Alana Wise, NPR News.
This is NPR.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Coast Guard rescue crews pulled two people from the water on Sunday off Cape Chiniac, about 15 miles southeast of the city of Kodiak. The fishing vessel Alitak was taking on water about 200 yards from shore and sent a distress call around 8 a.m., according to a Coast Guard press release. Two crew members were on board at the time and activated the vessel's emergency radio beacon. Both were wearing their immersion suits and went into the water when a Coast Guard helicopter crew arrived less than an hour later. They were recovered by a rescue swimmer and brought to medical personnel at Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. The Coast Guard did not release additional information on the condition of the survivors, but the press release did say that safety equipment on the vessel was key to the rescue. As of Monday afternoon, helicopter crews had not located the Alitak, and it was unclear whether the vessel had sunk or was still adrift, according to a Coast Guard spokesperson. The spokesperson said mariners in the area should be cautious and notify the Coast Guard if they see the vessel. For the first time in recent history, Alaska legislators in both parties and the governor are talking about implementing a broad-based tax. New taxes aren't likely to pass this session, but Alaskans could start paying statewide taxes in the form of a sales or income tax in the next few years. Many lawmakers are saying the looming deficit makes taxes necessary to keep paying for state services. Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan asked economists to explain the pros and cons of a sales tax versus an income tax.
Brett Watson, an economics professor at UAA's Institute of Social and Economic Research, says neither is great, economically speaking.
Income taxes at the margin reduce people's incentive to work. Sales taxes at the margin reduce people's incentive to spend. And generally speaking, we want people in the economy to work and we want people in the economy to spend money.
But Watson says taxes are necessary to pay for things that residents want, given the reality of a gaping $800 million budget hole. More state lawmakers, Republicans, and Democrats are starting to agree. Even Governor Mike Dunleavy, who's long been resistant to any new taxes, told lawmakers he's working on a sales tax proposal. Nolan Clauda, director of the UAA Center for Economic Development, says there are advantages to sales taxes.
A sales tax is, of course, a very efficient way of collecting tax revenue that doesn't tend to distort economic incentives too much.
In non-economic speak, sales taxes don't take a lot of complicated bureaucracy to implement, and they don't tend to change how much people buy. But they are regressive. That means poorer people are hit harder.
It does have the trade-off of being somewhat regressive. You know, lower-income earners generally are going to pay a higher share of their income in taxes than with a progressive income tax, for example.
That's because they still have to pay for essential products like groceries and gas. Jared Walczak, a researcher with the Washington, D.C.-based Tax Foundation, says there are ways to make a sales tax less regressive. A big one, taxing services like manicures and oil changes and not just goods.
And we know that higher earners consume more in the services side. This is also going to apply to a lot of things like memberships, you know, the gym membership, all of the memberships that you might have.
Covering more services means the overall tax rate can remain low. An analysis by Walczak's right-leaning group found a 2.3% tax on most goods and services could earn the state up to $850 million, basically enough to fill the budget gap. That's essentially what a bill in the House from Representative Ben Carpenter, a Nikiski Republican, proposes. Walczak says a sales tax that includes nearly all services would make Alaska unique in the nation.
If the legislation currently under consideration were adopted, Alaska would have the most progressive sales tax in the country by an enormous margin.
Brett Watson, the UAA economist, says while any sales tax would still be more regressive than an income tax, economic analyses have repeatedly shown that cutting the permanent fund dividend hurts lower-income Alaskans most.
PFD cuts are by far the most regressive option.
He says if legislators really care about equity, preserving the PFD and implementing statewide taxes should be their first choice. Still, there are some costs that are harder to factor into economic analyses. People in rural off-the-road system communities already pay much more for staples like milk and eggs, says Representative Bryce Edgman, an independent from Gillingham. He says his constituents favor a progressive income tax bill, which in its current form would put a 2% tax on income more than $200,000 per year. He says the sales tax option would make it even less desirable to live in places like Dillingham.
I think it's going to be harder to attract and recruit teachers and other sort of itinerant workers that come and go over time with an additional sales tax burden.
Still, he's not ruling out the idea. He says he's glad that legislators and the governor have opened up discussions, as painful as new taxes might be. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Lex Trinan.
School districts are waiting anxiously to see if the Alaska legislature will increase school funding after years of stagnant state support. The recently passed House budget includes a one-time boost that school officials say would solve this year's budget shortfall, but won't save school districts from long-term struggles.
This spring, lawmakers in Juneau have heard hours and hours of testimony about issues related to school funding. From educators like Jenna Fabian, the principal at Nikiski North Star Elementary School.
As a building principal, I have spent a lot of sleepless nights worrying about burnout and our educators leaving the profession. I'm even more worried about whether or not we will have qualified candidates for those vacancies.
Fabian is part of a chorus of voices advocating for more funding for Alaska schools as districts statewide struggle with budgets that have fallen behind inflation. The Alaska legislature is considering multiple options. On one side, the House of Representatives is considering a temporary fix. It passed a budget last Monday that includes a $175 million one-year boost to in-state funding for K-12 public schools. That's about a 15% increase, equivalent to a $680 increase in the state's per-student funding formula. But the budget will still need to go through the Senate and governor before it's finalized. The topic of education funding has been at the forefront of the legislature this session, and in the Kenai Peninsula Borough and School District. The district has been projecting a $13 million deficit for the next school year, and approved pool closures, cuts to theater staff, and changes in the teacher-student ratio to make up the gap. The district, like many around the state, is counting on a boost from the legislature to avoid having to follow through on those cuts.
We are continually asked to do more, and we're doing more with less every year.
That's District Board of Education member Zen Kelly, who also serves as chair of the Finance Committee. He says the one-time funding boost in the House budget is a good temporary measure, but won't solve long-term woes.
We will be in the same situation next year of dealing with not knowing what our allocation is from the state when we start drafting our budget in October for the following year.
The Senate is considering a longer-term solution. Representatives from the borough and school district have been strong advocates for an increase to the BSA, or base student allocation, the amount school districts get from the state per student. The borough assembly unanimously passed a resolution asking the legislature for what it called a meaningful increase to the BSA in March. Still, the proposal has generated a lot of discussion and confusion. The Kenai City Council had a fraught conversation about a similar resolution earlier this month and ultimately killed it. Over the past couple weeks, the Senate Finance Committee heard public testimony on a Senate bill that would increase the BSA by $1,000 this year, an additional $350 next year, and create an inflation-based increase the following year. The vast majority of those testifying in Senate Finance urged passage of a BSA increase, and many asked for sustained increases going forward. Four members of the Kenai District's Board of Education testified, and others still were queued up to speak, but cut for time. One person who spoke was Board President Debbie Carey.
Without an increase, KPBSD is looking at cutting 34 positions. Supporting Senate Bill 52 will not only allow districts to reduce their deficit, but will also allow districts to fulfill their goals and strategic plans.
Fabian, the Nikiski principal, also showed support for a sustained, inflation-proofed BSA.
Stable, predictable funding is key to improving student outcomes by stabilizing schools and reducing turnover.
Kelly says that turnover is a key reason the district is so desperate for sustained BSA increases. Among the 34 positions the district may have to cut, 11 are teaching positions. Kelly says the district needs to know whether it can renew those contracts by the end of the school year next month. Kelly says they'll be the first priority once the legislature settles on a number.
It's so hard right now to find quality teachers. And so that's our biggest impact, and it'll be what I, as finance chair, will push the board to do first, as soon as we have knowledge of any increase at all, is to retain those certified positions.
Then the district's finance committee will decide on what else to bring back into the budget, depending on what that legislative boost looks like. In addition to pools and theater techs, the district has approved cuts to athletic directors, student success liaisons, and extracurricular travel funds.
There is still time to save these programs. There is still time to keep our pools and our theaters open, to reinstitute the reductions that we made in staffing at our high schools and middle schools. There is still time to save this, but we can't stop letting the legislature know how important it is.
Action on the budget is now in the Senate. The two chambers need to reach a compromise before May 17th, when the Constitution requires the legislature to adjourn. In Juneau, I'm Riley Board.
The Sitka School Board has gone out on a limb, maybe the longest limb it's ever gone out on, in passing a budget for next year. In a split vote last Thursday, the board voted to keep staffing levels to the same as this year and to almost completely drain the district's reserves. KZAW's Robert Woolsey has this report.
The most money for education in Alaska comes from the legislature, and that's the rub for Sitka and every other school district in the state. The legislature hasn't decided how much it will spend next year, leaving schools to draft their budgets based on guesswork. It's an infuriating and agonizing process for local communities that want to spend as much as they can on schools, keeping good teachers, recruiting new ones, and maintaining sports, music, and other extracurricular programs that incentivize attendance. Board member Tristan Gavon attributed much of Sitka's difficult position to a faulty legislative process.
What we're doing here is we're building a budget without an idea of what our revenues will be because of inaction by the state. You know, we all kind of, you know, we've talked to death kind of the situation with the BSA, that it hasn't been increased since 2016, since July 1st of 2016. In that same time period, you know, we faced about 25% inflation. So in essence, that flat funding, you know, is a budget decrease, a significant budget decrease.
The BSA stands for base student allocation, or the amount of money the state gives each district for each student. The BSA has been increased once in the last 7 years and been bumped several times with one-time grants, but as Gavon noted, it's never been adjusted for inflation. Several bills have been introduced in the legislature this year that might provide yet another bump, but it's anyone's guess where the final number will land. This left the Sitka School Board to consider only two options, whether to cut three teachers at Kikushihin and increase class sizes in fourth and fifth grade, or keep those teachers and take the district savings account to its lowest level ever, just over $10,000. Board member Todd Gebler wanted to keep the teachers.
This is a risk. This is an enormous risk. And a lot of it, you can put a label on it if the state is not doing it. It's not doing what they should for us, and that is the truth. They're really not doing it. But in order for the teachers to do what they need to do, small class sizes are important. And in order for us to do that, I'm very, very happy to keep those three positions to keep.
The risk is that the proposed budget assumes the state will increase the BSA with a one-time shot of $450. Again, it's just a guess. Bills have been introduced in the legislature with higher amounts, but it's a long road before any of them arrive at the governor's desk. The final amount could also be lower than $450. In that event, the district couldn't meet its obligations, as pointed out by Mike Vieira, president of the Sitka Education Association, which represents teachers.
If you can't meet payroll, that's us. So I think that's us all in the same boat.
Another alternative before the board would be to reduce staff at Kikushihin Elementary by two positions and transfer them to Blatchley Middle School. The resulting draw on district savings would then leave close to $200,000 in the bank. This was the preference of Board President Blossom Teal Olson, who was uncomfortable with going all the way down to $10,000.
I cannot bring myself to be okay with walking away knowing that it would jeopardize our whole community, knowing that our fund balance would be left at such a level.
In the end, other board members overruled Teal Olson and voted to approve a budget that leaves the teaching staff intact, draws on $1.7 million in savings, and assumes the legislature will allocate at least another $450 per student to education this year, which, as yet, it has come to no agreement on. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Home prices take an unexpected climb. I'm Kristen Schwab with the Marketplace Minute. Home prices rose 0.2% in February compared to the previous month. That's the first increase in 7 months, measured by the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller National Home Price Index. Year-over-year prices rose most in Miami, Tampa, and Atlanta. Here's another housing headline. About 680,000 new single-family homes sold in March. That's up more than 9.5% from February. The median sale price was just under $450,000. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index fell a few points in April as people become more pessimistic about the economic outlook and labor markets. Their inflation expectations are still elevated. I'm Kristen Schwab with the Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, providing commercial real estate investment and technology. See a brighter way.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 25th day of April, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 6:33. It will set again at 9:43. That will give us 15 hours and 11 minutes of daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 47 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 60 degrees. That was set in 1936. And our record low was 22, set in 1955. Currently 39 degrees under overcast skies. Out at the airport, they are showing that they have east winds to 14 miles per hour, 89% humidity, and they are back up to 10 miles of visibility. They're calling for rain and snow showers, becoming all rain this afternoon. High near 38, southeast winds to 15, gusting to 20. Scattered showers tonight, mainly before 10. Mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 33, southeast winds to 10, turning to the west this evening. And rain is likely tomorrow, mainly after 1 p.m. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with a high near 42, south winds to 10. We have a low tide coming up in just a few minutes here on the east side. That will happen at 12:25, just a little under 3 minutes, and be 0.4 of a foot, followed by a high tide at 7:09 this evening of 5.6 feet. Over on the west side, your low tide, will happen at 12:45 this afternoon and be 0.6 of a foot in Larsen Bay, followed by a high tide at 7:13 this evening of 9.8 feet. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side, out to 15 miles offshore. Southeast winds to 20 knots today, seas to 5 feet. Southwest 20 tonight, seas to 6 feet. And southwest 15 tomorrow, turning to the southeast in the afternoon, seas to 5 feet. For Wednesday night, they are calling for northeast 25, seas to 7 feet. And for Thursday, southwest 25, seas to 9 feet on our east side on Thursday. Over in the Shelikof Strait, east winds to 20 knots and seas to 4 feet today. South winds to 15 knots tonight, seas to 4 feet. And for tomorrow in the Shelikof, south 15 becoming northeast in the afternoon, seas to 4 feet. The KMXT Board of Directors will be holding their regular monthly meeting tonight at 6 p.m. in the KMXT building here at 620 Egan Way. The meeting is open to the public and members are always encouraged to attend. For more information, call 907-486-3181. And the meeting will also be available via Zoom. Email gm@kmxt.org to be sent the Zoom link. Salvation Army Thrift Store is closed until tomorrow. Please hold off on your donations. and they have a couple of job openings as well. Tomorrow, the United States Coast Guard Band's saxophone quartet will be playing, along with the Kodiak High School Jazz Band. They will be in concert at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. tomorrow. No tickets are required, just 100% pure fun. Again, that's tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. at the Gerald C. A note for Kodiak Island Borough School District elementary school families. Thursday is now an early release day for elementary school students only. Grades kindergarten through 5 will be dismissed at 1:50 p.m. to accommodate teacher travel. As scheduled, the following day, Friday, April 28th, is a teacher in service, and there will be no school for students on Friday. And if you have any questions about that, call your school office. Meetings coming up in the Kodiak Island Borough include Thursday's meeting of the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly. They will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. Next Monday, May 1st, the Board of Equalization will be having its regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 5:30 p.m. On Tuesday, May 2nd, the Women's Bay Service Area Board will be having their regular meeting in the Women's Bay Fire Hall at 5:30 p.m. And a week from Thursday, May 4th, the Assembly will be having its regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All these meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available at the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And remember, Assembly meetings are live-streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. If you subscribe, they will send you live-stream notifications. And this next weekend, you get another chance to see Puffs, the Kodiak Middle School and High School Shakespeare's will present a Harry Potter parody about Wayne Hopkins, a regular boy who finds out he's a wizard and goes to school in England where he makes two best friends and has adventures. It sounds familiar, but Wayne is sorted as a Hufflepuff, and he and the other Puffs just want to learn how to be wizards and avoid attacks by evil wizards. It's a hilariously heartfelt and epic journey, and it takes place in the middle school commons next weekend, Friday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m., again at the Middle School Commons. Tickets at the door and at kodiakshakespeares.luduse.com. The bees are back at the library. Hive checks will be held Saturday mornings at 10:30. Children under 5 must watch from inside, and children under 13 must be supervised by a parent or guardian. People who have previously attended a hive check may not sign up until the day before a check to allow room for newcomers. Call the library at 486-8686 to sign up for your spot. And on Tuesday, that's today, the library is showing its big film, Big Fish, for its dinner and a movie. You bring your dinner, they show the movie. After his son listens to the stories of his dying father, he decides to investigate just how much of his father's life was make-believe. The film is rated PG-13 and is approximately 2 hours long. Again, that is tonight at 6 p.m. at the library, dinner at a movie. On Thursday at 3 p.m., the library's next chess club meeting will occur. Drop in and learn, practice, and sharpen your chess skills in a friendly, cozy environment. No experience is necessary, and it's open for all ages. And remember, on Wednesdays, the library offers their Lego Club. That's at 3:30 p.m. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. For any questions about any of this, call the library at 907-486-8686. And library hours are now Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. They're looking for beach walkers. If you'd like to watch the beaches and look for beached birds, they're having a training session on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. Again, that's Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Train to become a beach walker. You help monitor the marine environment through COAST, the Coastal Observation and Seabird Survey Team. They collect data on He beach cast carcasses of marine birds on a monthly basis to establish a baseline pattern of bird mortality on Alaska beaches. You can also find out more about the whole program on Friday. They're having a presentation at 6 p.m. and learn all about it. Again, that is at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center on Trident Way.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.